And we're live. Hey, Tyler.
Hey Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Same. Austin is pretty warm this time of year. I know a lot warmer than the spot that you're in right now.
Secret mountain lair.
Yep.
So we wanted to chat today about optimizing strategies and curve fitting over optimization.
Yeah, I think that came up in the comm center. I think it was today or maybe yesterday. And it's a really important topic, especially for systems traders or people that are using data to create a model. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on it and maybe some things in your past that have helped you with the issue, or maybe you have some stories about how you were naive to the issue at first and you created a curve-fitted model that blew up. And then I can kind of put in my 2 cents and we can go from there.
Sure. Naive definitely sums up the last 20 years of my trading. Less naive each day. But when I started out, I was lucky enough to get the systems trading kind of, I feel at least lucky enough because I've continued that path, have that mentorship and learned a path of how to develop a strategy that is predictable in that I can predict a trade is upcoming, not that predicting the outcome. That's ex expectation. I'm sorry. What is the word? Expectancy
Yep.
gives you a little bit better interest there. But the predictability is just that you're not surprised. Like you know that there is a trade in the upcoming, whether it happens or not, and whether you make money or lose money on that trade or not is irrelevant. It's just predictable that you know you need to pay attention. So that to me was something I learned really important. Next, what I learned that was really important to follow that was it was repeatable. Obviously, if you have a predictable, something's coming up, it has to be able to be repeated in order for you to, go back and test that that is an edge. And then finally, that you can define it clearly. So that it can be tested. In other words, it's rather than just saying this looks like a good setup, well, what part of that setup? Is it the high above a low bar with an inside bar and a volume? If you can quantify what that actually is, then you can build yourself a model. So from there, it gets very, very interesting to think, okay, well, if I can just clarify that the system by stacking indicators on it is makes it more I have less losing trades if I just can stack more on it. So if I'll throw like an RSI on it and volume on it and a MACD and stochastics and ATR and then a couple of moving averages and then Bollinger Bands, now you have like almost 10 indicators and they're all saying very similar things. They're rather redundant. That is, in essence, what happens when you get to this over-optimization of finding these things that are one-offs as you're looking at your screen or as you're moving back and forth through testing. You start to see something and you get a recency bias. You'll say, oh, every time the MACD curves up, when the RSI is at the bottom and the stochastic turns up, and the ATR is at the bottom, and Bollinger Bands have room, and we're on top of the MACD or the moving averages, and it's a Tuesday, and it's before 9 a.m. And so you start building all these things, and you see it, hey, it worked. And then you go back and you see it again, and it worked another time. You're like, okay, well, that's good enough for me. I'm just gonna put this out there. And then you start building this system. And usually, what happens is you'll just start trading it because you've looked back a couple of bars, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, and you've seen that it worked before, so by golly, it's going to work again. And usually what happens is well, if you're lucky, you're going to have a winner right then. But usually what happens is it just breaks right then. So then we start discovering these tools, TradeStation, TradingView, thinkorswim strategies. You can start building these basic out-of-the-box strategies where it doesn't take any code, or you can go to a forum and copy and paste some code in there and just tweak. What if I had this strategy and I just added all these different indicators to it? but I changed the MACD from 1226.9 to 1128. And lo and behold, that's the magic number. And all of a sudden you have this beautiful curve. And instead of just using a simple basic system to get you in the ballpark of an entry, you know, we end up focusing overly on the trying to optimize for the beautiful curve. And typically what happens, and this is the phrase that pays, this is the one that every single time we've all said it in trading, as we learn, before we develop the ability to do math and or have calluses and not get injured by stopping out or by being wrong, the phrase that everybody says and is the, as soon as you hear it, you know there's going to be overfitting and there's going to be over-optimization and it's possibly a blow up. And that's, I just want to be consistent. I just want to be consistent. I just want to know that when I make a trade, it's going to be right. And you'll hear that over and over. And, you know, certainly we've all said it. And that right there is the moment when you overfitting and optimization are your holy grail. This is what you're aiming for. You want, I just want to be right when I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I don't even want to be wrong. I want it to be a break even. So we start looking for these high win rate systems or these high win rate strategies so that you can feel better about yourself. You can feel like I was right. And when I make a decision, it's a right decision. There's a lot of value in our society for being right and not being wrong. But trading is an actual business. And you know, we're billions and trillions of dollars and people with all sorts of things going on come to compete into this market. So to try to be right on every single tick and every single trade and every single market, that's just not a possibility.
No, not nicely said. I like all the points you touched on, and I have a few things to add. So when people, the reason why people like to curve fit is for what you said, they like to see that ultra consistent system, that thing that never loses. And obviously everyone wants to maximize their system's profitability or their approach's profitability. But that is a fool's errand, because if you keep tweaking the parameters based on past data, eventually you could just continually tweak parameters till you get something that looks perfect, but it was really just by luck. Because ultimately, me and you could sit down and we can test a million different parameters on every single market until we get a curve that looks absolutely perfect. But that doesn't mean that market's going to perform like that going forward. All that means is that we figured out the right combination for that particular data set, and we mostly fit our system to noise, you know, noise in the past that's not going to show up again, or it's going to show up differently in the future. So we're optimizing around noise and not signal. And that's what causes people to get that really nice looking equity curve, because they think they've found the holy grail. And really all they did was optimize for noise. And then, you know, going forward, it crashes. And so like a very interesting experiment to do, and something I did way back in when I first started getting into this business in the systems trading, was I'd look at a random price series. So you can take you can model out an asset price, a purely random asset price that has just a normal distribution, you know, whether it goes up or down, it's all random, it's random walk. And then you can take a system and try to trade that random walk. And then what you'll find is a random walk looks a lot like a stock price or a futures price. It jostles up around the chart, and it's very, very similar to what we see in the market. And if you start putting on MAs and all these sorts of indicators on that, you will actually find something that's able to trade it effectively. But at the end of the day, though, there is no signal. It's just a completely random price series. So you're able to create a system that looks perfect on this completely random price series in the past. And then once you start the simulation forward again, it just is going to fall apart. And that and kind of having that realization is very key for anyone that wants to get more into a systematic way to approach it. Is you gotta have you have to have the stuff tweaked correctly, so you're focusing on the signal and not the noise, because we know there's the majority of market movements is noise. And so just by knowing that fact, we have to be mindful of our system and have it be, like you said, you know, like simplistic enough to only get into the signal and not have so many different parameters. Because if you have so many different parameters, then it's a clue or it's a hint that you're actually optimizing the noise, because there's just not that much signal in a lot of that, in a lot of the price data that we have. So, you know, I think that's, do you have anything, any comments on that, or should I move into my next point?
No, that's well said.
Cool. Yeah. And so like the other thing is, great. You know, we have that concept, right? Like we have to deal with that, this overfitting problem and over optimization problem. So like, all right, how do we deal with it? And I'm pretty sure that we've had this conversation before in the comm center, and you've done it yourself with your own systems. But essentially, you know, you have to have training data and you have to have testing data. And then I've even heard of people having three different data sets as well. They have a training set, a validation set, and a test set. And essentially what you do is, you have basically in sample and out of sample results. So you train your model on the in sample stuff, and then you you say, hey, does this work on out of sample? And you go to that out of sample data and you see, did it work? And if it did, then you're probably on the right track, because you had a system that worked, and it's never seen the out of sample data, and now it's working again. But if you have a system that works great on in-sample data, and then you go test it on out-of-sample data, and it just crashes, well, then you know you've likely over-optimized. So have you ever done some of that in your system development, where you take you know, the training on a certain part of the data and do it on and test on another part?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big part of finding a robust system, is to find something that really gets you very similar results across all your data sets. And, you know, the 70-30 split is the traditional, although it can be, you know, 50-50 or whatever else. But yeah, that's an absolute easy way to know that maybe I should actually reconsider going live with this amazing magic hat of a gift that I was able to code up, or able to just stack indicators on top of each other and figure out the key to eternal wealth. And you know, for me to kind of, in addition to take in sample, out of sample, on top of that, the easier way to find that something that works in sample, out of sample, is that, or training and test, is that the less optimized, the more resilient that is. And what we're looking for is resilience when we're building systems. We want something that can withstand and continue to be there over a longer period of time, a longer data set, different data sets, so that you understand it's not fragile at that point. Or at least you have an inclination that you don't have a fragile, delicate algo or system or strategy in your hands. When you do have something like that is when, that's when you get into a lot of trouble. And from my perspective, getting a robust anti-fragile, if that's not really the right word there, but not as fragile system in your hands is where the real magic happens. Because for me, for my systems and my trading, I found that the best results are when you just find a system that keeps you out of trouble generally as a starting point. So, you know, everybody's really concerned about black swans when you talk about building these systems. And for example, I put stops on the bar close. So if I'm trading a daily, I'll let it go against me, you know, however long it goes against me. But until the bar closes, for example, or the you know, that trading window closes, I don't make any changes. I don't stop out or anything. And that's because I've done a lot of backtesting. I've done a lot of research and discovered that that's what works. So the question is, well, what about black swans? First of all, the nature of black swans are you can't, by definition, you can't actually prepare for a black swan because you don't know what the black swan is. That's what makes it a black swan. After the fact, you discover it's a black swan. Mm-hmm. But even over time, the absolute worst day on a system that you build that is rather resilient, or at least not delicate, you'll find that, sure, you might have lost money on flash crash or 9/11 or the global housing, you know, the global financial crisis. Notice when I talk about black swans, that's three in about 20 years. So if you're working in that realm, realize that that's three events in 20 years. That's not something that Brexit would make it for. That's not something that you can really, if there's 250 trading days, give or take, per year over a 20-year window, that's four events. It's not enough to ruin you. So if you run those tests on, say, a black swan location in time, and you discover that, hey, yeah, I lost a good 10% of my account, well, no big deal, because you've got 20 years of to recover those 4 days. You know, it's just mathematically good. So if you can find a system that keeps you out of trouble in that general location, then you can bring tools in that are actually useful, which is position sizing, which is when to take your exits, which is when to add to your positions, when to lighten positions, when to hedge, all these other strategies that give you an edge if you already start with an edge that says keep you out of trouble by not getting into bad situations.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And just when you talk about resiliency and robustness, that is the magic key. You know, that's what you want, because something that works really, really well and almost too well tends to blow up or tends to not work. The market will eventually break it and it's overfitted. Whereas if you have something that's you know, kind of a little bit hard to stick with, and maybe it's a little emotionally taxing to stick with, you know, that's actually more robust, because it's able to handle, like you said, those black swan events or things that, you know, hurt people, but they don't necessarily take you out. You take a loss, but you don't destroy your entire bankroll. So having something that is robust to events and is also kind of, you know, not exactly comfortable to trade. And I think this is another good point I wanted to touch on, is if you come up with some system that's extremely comfortable to trade, and let's just say, you know, you went back and you adjusted every parameter and this thing makes money every single day, okay? That's, and you got to kind of sit back for a second and think about that, and say to yourself, does that opportunity really exist in the market? Are the markets really that inefficient to where I have the ability to go in and extract money out of the markets every single day with no drawdown? And, you know, if you're new to the game, like, you might naively believe that that's the case, but you and I both know that it isn't. And if it was, someone else likely would have found that and arbitraged it away. So like a key component to a system being robust is the fact that it's, you know, it's kind of hard to sit with. It's not exactly, you know, it's not a walk in the park. It's not fun. And so that, you know, your particular system is going to try to shake other traders out. But the fact that you have developed it and you feel like it's robust, you're able to stick with it. So I think that kind of ties into our discussion on robustness. You know, you have something that's a little hard to stick with and a little bit uncomfortable to trade, it's likely less curve fit or not curve fit at all compared to something that's looks very easy to trade and feels easy to trade.
Again, back to that consistent. I just want to be consistent, right? That's absolutely the thing. And you know, I use this analogy all the time. It's you have to have the temperament to trade the system in front of you. If you need to be right all the time, first of all, trading might be a tough career choice. Just, you know, over time, you know, there's prediction, human predictability capabilities are really poor. Even the top people in the business are not good at it. If you're the sort of person that can understand that, hey, I'm going to be wrong, you know, 50, 60, 70% of the time, but I can be right on those, you know, 30, 40, 50% the other times. And if you position that correctly with the proper sizing, that's a beautiful system. That's a great system. But those are the hard systems. Those are the real big money makers in the business, are the ones that can go through lower win rates and take higher multiples on their wins and smaller on their losses. Those are the real high returning systems, and that's what makes them so hard to trade. That's why they're still available out there. That's why we can still make a lot of money with them, because people have a tough time being wrong and just getting comfortable with being wrong, which is the whole purpose that every after somebody says, I just want to be consistently profitable, and they get to the next level, which is, well, you know, a 30 or 40% win rate system that has good expectancy and high R is a beautiful system. It's just, I can't trade it mentally. So then they get into the idea of, oh, I'm going to build an algorithm to do it for me, so I can just put it on a server and it can do it, and I can just look at the P&L at the end of the month and not have to think anything about it. That's, or you hire somebody to do it for you, which is the same thing, a human or, you know, atoms or bits.
Yeah.
But those are, yeah, to follow up on your point, yeah, absolutely. Having the temperament to trade the system that's hard is what will keep you in the game. And that, you know, that just, honestly, for me, the biggest tool that I gained, or the thing that helped me gain that and get past it all, was just doing it over and over, repetition. And this is why I'm so adamant about, if you're running a system that's not bits, it's atoms, you're pulling the trigger on it, and you're, you know, it's systematic. It says, if this happens, then buy, if this happens, then sell. If you can do reps over and over and over and over and over, and you know what the math is, not just because you hit a button, compiled code, and then you looked at the output and it said, hey, this is good, but you've actually got in there and went through every single bar, every single tick, every single day, and saw how it actually works. You build those calluses in there. You build that memory of what it was like. You can think, if nothing else, on a back test or paper trading, yeah, you don't have a lot of emotion, but once you've done it a couple of times and then you go live and you're like, I have no problem going through that sort of drawdown, until you go live and you're like, oh, this is not fun. Then you go back to a back test and you can put yourself in that mental frame of, ooh, this isn't fun. When you're doing a back test, it's over and over. It's why, you know, LeBron, it's why, well, I won't say Brady because that's controversial, but you know, it's why these top athletes are so good at the basics. They are just so good at doing the basic thing, which is practicing, you know, dribbling, blocking, tackling, free throws, whatever sport analogy we want to use, over and over. So good at the basics, which is the same as paper trading, which is the same as back tests. You practice over and over, and you know what it's like to go through that situation over and over.
All right, Chris. Well, yeah, I think that will do it for this topic. I think we covered the stuff that we wanted to cover here. And let us know, guys, if you like this kind of short format where we talk about one subject and rip it apart. And we'll do more of them if you like them.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know.
All right, Chris.
Also, let's throw your Twitter out there. So.
Oh, yeah, sure. So it's at Tyler H. Kling on Twitter.
All right. And Tyler at macro-ops.com.
Yeah, if you want to reach me over email. And then, yeah, Chris, why don't you?
I'm Chris D. Macro on Twitter, and Chris at macro-ops.com. If you want to chat more about this, tell us you liked it, you hated it, you want something else, or you want to chat about it. Maybe we'll do a lesson or a call ourselves.
Cool.
All right.